Awesome. Wonderful to see you all. First fall of snow doesn't deter us. I was thinking this morning, this is what I signed up for. And I thought, no, God, this is what you signed me up for. But either way, it's great. Wonderful to look out the bedroom window this morning and see a couple of inches of snow on the ground. And I know some of you go, ugh. Some of you go, yay. And depending what you have to do with it. So anyway, it's wonderful to be here and to be sharing with you again this morning. And I trust that you've been enjoying this series as we're going along and listening to the different aspects of revealing Jesus and understanding Jesus in a deeper way. And so this morning, I want to continue with revealing Jesus and this morning as my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Master, sorry. It's good if you get the title right the first time around. That's helpful. You know, often people accept Jesus as Savior, but few get to Lord and Master. And I trust today this will encourage you and build you up to understand there is a difference. And if you write in part one of the series, the book of Jude is themed completely for Jesus as sovereign and Jesus as Lord. And we often see that he is given throughout Scripture the title of Lord and Master, or Lord and Master separately or together, because that's who he is. And so this morning I just want to have a look at a quote we started with right in the very beginning. Jesus doesn't need a makeover. You know, Jesus doesn't need a makeover. We don't need to rebrand him. We just need to unveil him. And once you really see him, you can never walk away. Once we understand who Jesus really is, we never can walk away from that. And that was by Keir Taylor. So I think what's important is that we first and foremost look at the biblical view of Lord and Master. And so, Father, I come you this morning to you, Lord God, and again, I submit myself to you as Jesus my Savior, but Jesus my Lord and Master. And I ask you, Lord God, that your anointing would flow this morning as it already has. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, and that we would take hold of this message today. So, understanding a biblical view of Lord and Master, so the best thing to do is have a look at a couple of scriptures that says so that you know that this is not a cool idea that I had. So let's have a look. Romans 1:7. To all those in Rome, we are loved by God and called to the saints, called to be saints, that's all of us as well. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:24. But for ours also it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:15, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's not just Lord, but he is the Lord of all lords. Anyone you think fits in there, then Jesus is superior and greater than that. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not that Jesus is Savior, we're going to get to that a little bit, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I know often people ask, well, saved from what? Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you just now. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. There's only one Lord. And bestowing his riches on all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Luke 5:5, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I'll let down the nets. I love this. If you just think about it a little bit, here are a bunch of fishermen talking to a carpenter, asking him, what are we going to do? And he says, put the notes on the other side. And they're, well, Master, if you say so, we will do that. John 11:28. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." King James Version, obviously. Now we have to understand that when we get into this and understand this and we learn Savior, Lord, and Master, it's a definitive statement of acknowledgement of who Jesus is personally to us. We need to think differently about who Jesus is. And when we declare that my Lord and Master, tells us three things. It means to us that it's a revelation for us of who Jesus is. Secondly, it's our relationship with Him. You know, Michael started this morning with, "We want more of you, Lord. We want more." Well, this is part of the more. And a declaration of who Jesus really is, meaning an understanding of Jesus is more than just our Savior. He is our Lord and Master. And then we can look at other pieces of Scripture where there are these kairos moments, these moments in time where everything seems to stand still when people make declarations. And an interesting one is that when David writes Psalm 110, verse 1, and he says, "The Lord says to my Lord." Now, you can get a little bit confused about that, but I just love what the Holy Spirit was doing and the utterances and the prophetic words and the declarations that were going on, because you will start to see some of that in the preacher this morning. I'm telling you, we are not that smart that we could plan this kind of stuff. It's all the Holy Spirit and His guiding and His leading, and He's helping us to understand some stuff. Okay, so let's go. "Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Now, this is obviously a prophetic psalm that is being put out there, because there's two different Hebrew words that they use there for Lord. And the first one is Yahweh, which means the Hebrew covenant name for God. And the second one, "The Lord said to my Lord," is Adonai, and meaning Lord or Master. So here David is referring to Jesus, David knowing that it's been promised that the Master, the Lord, the Savior will come from his lineage, which makes you think that would be inferior. But David gets it immediately, because what David is saying here is, Yahweh says to my Adonai, speaking about Jesus, who would be his descendant but would also be his Lord. And he accepts that and understands that Jesus is his Lord. I know, long explanation there. Mary said, "They have taken away my Lord," John 13. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," in John 20:28. A double deity title, if you want, understanding a deeper revelation of my Lord and God when he sees Jesus come. And we know the story, we see the nail prints in my hands and my feet, and etc. These are great examples for us to follow. Paul says the surpassing power of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Philippians 3:8, if you want to go and look all that stuff up. So what does declaring Jesus as my Lord and Master mean to us? Jesus might mean a whole number of things to you, a whole bunch of things to you. At the top of the pile, it should be Jesus, my Savior. And there is a order, if you want, here. We can't mess the order around. The top of the pile is Jesus is our Savior. But we actually sometimes just live there that He's my Savior, because we think that Jesus came to earth to save us so we don't go to hell. That's bad theology. Jesus came to deal with sin in the world and in our lives, and to reconcile us to the Father, that we might have a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not about religion. Because some of us think, well, I'm saved now, I can sit, take my hand back, and I can sit at the bus stop waiting for the rapture to take place. Because you think, well, that's it, Jesus is my Savior, and that's it. No, there is so much more for us to take hold of. There's so much more for us to walk in and understand. And I want to break that down for us a little bit this morning. We have to understand that He is not just Savior, but He is Lord and Master. And And the problem is that, okay, so let's have a look at Jesus, number two, Jesus as Savior, Lord. As you can see, I'm getting excited about this thing because I'm really excited about this word. And that if we could grasp this, we wouldn't have to call for more. The more, and really, the more is there already for us. And what Michael was giving us this morning was a heart attitude. Not because, God, you're holding out on us, but because, Lord, we want more of you, more of your presence, more of your manifestation, more of what you're doing in our lives. Good. There is a difference between calling Jesus Savior and making him Lord. Salvation, we have to understand, salvation is a package deal. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked. So, you know, you asked earlier, well, I'm saved from what? Well, you're saved from the wrath of God. That's what you're saved from. God's not angry with you. Yeah, but I messed up yesterday. Yeah, he's still not angry with you. I'm going to mess up tomorrow. Yeah, well, let's get close. You go 12:05, I'm going to mess up. Today, he's not angry with you. That's what grace is all about. His grace is sufficient for us. It doesn't mean that you now have license to go and mess up. Please, let me just be clear about that. I know, well, I'm not under law now. I'm under grace. I can do what I like. Yeah, that's very bad theology. But it's. Let me get back to my notes. Jesus, salvation means I'm saved from the wrath of God. So now you know what you've been saved from. It's not so you can sit at the bus stop and wait so we can all go to heaven and sing Kumbaya. The package deal is redemption, is part of the package deal. We have been redeemed from the slave block. Those chains that we sang about this morning, they've been taken away from us. We've been bought at a price. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. He has redeemed us. He has justified us. Justification, meaning just as if I had never sinned before. Reconciliation means that relationship that was broken in the garden is now restored, and I'm in full relationship with my Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have a good relationship. It means that I get to become a disciple. I know some people think that being a disciple is an optional extra. I'm going to help you this morning understand it's not. And that acknowledging his lordship is what we are called to. So for argument's sake, when we go to the store, if you go and do this stuff, especially if you want to buy something that's like a kit, and then you get home and you diligently, you go to IKEA and you come home, you got all these little pieces, and now you've got to try and fit them together. And you get to the end of it, if you're anything like me, and you put this piece on back to front, and you screwed that thing in the wrong way, and then you've got to pull it all apart and start again. But what happens when you get there and you go, oh, part A21 is missing. What do? I haven't got the full package deal. What do? You go, oh, okay, oh, well, we'll just build this table. They're supposed to have four legs. We'll just build it with three. No, you don't. You go, hold on. I paid for the whole package deal. I want the whole package deal. And then we get into the car and we drive all the way back to IKEA and we say, hey, part of my package deal's missing. That's what it's like giving your life to Jesus. We have the whole package deal. But when we don't get to Lord and Master, Judas never got to Lord and Master. He was always teacher. He never got to Lord and Master. And you know what happened to Judas? But when we get there, we have to understand that we want the full package deal. We want Jesus as Savior. We want Jesus as Lord. We want Jesus as Master in our lives. We don't want pieces missing. We want to see that Jesus is the center on everything. Jesus as Savior centers on self. Means, and I know some people think that my Christian walk, my Christianity is a private thing. Well, there's a very small modicum of truth in that thing. The big picture is that Jesus is Lord and Master, means that he is the center of everything, and it's about Jesus and his kingdom. And it's beyond ourselves. And it's beyond me and what I want. We can't switch the order around, because if we do, then we're going to live without the full package deal. Discipleship, as I said, is not an optional extra. Go into all the world and make what? disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Full package deal. Not in, well, I'm not sure about discipleship. With Christ, it is all or nothing at all. We can't pick and choose. You know, coming from sunny South Africa, I could pick and choose not to live in the cold part. But then I couldn't come to Canada. And when you come to Canada, you get the whole package deal. Four seasons. A lot of countries only get two seasons or three seasons. They're being gypped. Yeah, we get four seasons. Isn't that exciting? Then we get to go out and shovel snow and play. Okay, all right. You get what I'm saying. We have to understand that Savior, Lord, and Master summons us with expectations. And that's sometimes, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, why modern day man, postmodern Christianity, doesn't want or don't want a New Testament church. We just want like it was in the old days. Modern Testament, New Testament church, it summons an expectation on us to be disciples, to go out and share our testimony and share our lives and the goodness of the gospel, that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Louise said this morning. I'm going to tell you this morning, it is more than attending church on Sunday. It is more than coming to the prayer meeting tonight. It is more than being part of a connect group or doing alpha or freedom session. It is way more than that. And if you only do one out of the five, just think about it. So I've done a little graph here this morning for us to have a look at. I hope you can read it. Emphasis, Jesus is Savior on the left, on the right. And emphasis is Jesus as Lord on the other side. Emphasis, Jesus as Savior, seeks forgiveness of sins. That's all it does. And yeah, and sins are forgiven. But Jesus, Lord, summons people to devotion, to be active disciples of Jesus, inviting others to pursue the kingdom with us, together. It's a reorientation in our life, which includes my sins forgiven. Hallelujah, praise God, all the good stuff for that. I'm no longer the king of my domain, though. And now Jesus becomes Lord and Master. I get off my throne and he is seated on that throne. Old way we put it is get out the driver's seat so that Jesus can drive this car. Jesus as Savior impacts me alone at the basic belief it's self-centered. Because I'm happy, I'm going to heaven now. I don't know about the rest of you. Jesus, Lord, impacts me and everyone around me. It is centered on the King and His kingdom. Man, what's the point of being a bright light if you're not shining anything? Many years ago, I can't remember, I think Louise might have said it or someone said it long ago in a faraway land. You can, as a Christian, you can be fairy lights on a Christmas tree or you can be football stadium lights. You get to choose. No one's making you do anything. Oftenly, Jesus as Savior, oftenly deeply personal and privatized, and some people still think that was just about me and Jesus. Unbiblical, bad theology. Just let me share that with you. It's designed to spread out to impact everything and everyone around me. It is mission-oriented and seeks to reflect Jesus to others. We want to be able to reflect Jesus. We are reflectors of His glory, reflectors of His goodness, reflectors of His kindness, reflectors of who He is, faithfulness, generosity. Jesus' Savior affects only the so-called spiritual aspect of life. My sins are forgiven. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't know about the rest of you. No, it affects Jesus, Lord, affects all of our life. It's all-encompassing. We fulfill all of who we were created to be, body, soul, and spirit. Don't you want to have body, soul, and spirit all in line, working together, working for the King and His kingdom, shining and doing everything, not getting the spirit is there when we're trying to get the soul and the body to play catch up and get there along the way. Jesus, Savior, it's a one-time decision. Lord, I give my life to you. I pray the prayer with earnestness, and that's it. Jesus, Lord, is a lifetime devotion to Jesus. Where do you want to live in this? For unfortunately, the first doesn't always lead to the second. They say, I don't know, can't qualify this or quantify it. Only about 50% of those who make a decision for Jesus as Savior ever transition and become disciples and make Jesus Lord of their life. You checked it out. Because the problem is we center on being Jesus as Savior, and we do not center our lives on being Jesus being Lord and Master of our lives. And this is not osmosis. It doesn't just happen. We have to make an effort, a conscious effort. Number three, so let's just break it down a little bit. Number three, my Lord and Master. Jesus, my Lord, my Master. Number one, acknowledges His authority. The word for authority, for the Lord, sorry, for Lord is kurios. And kurios means also related, can also be translated as master, owner. I don't want Jesus, I don't want anybody owning me. Yeah, that's what Lord and Master means. It describes the one who has power and authority over us. Jesus has all power and all authority. And if you don't believe me, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he said, now therefore go. Which means what? We have that delegated authority in our lives. We get to live in the beauty of Lord and Master. 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. He is the kurios, he is the Lord and the Master with all power and authority. And that's why we sang beautifully this morning. I know, I thought, the first time I sang that song was like 1961. Grade one in school. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Number two means that we acknowledge His Lordship. It's not just like, well, we're going to make mental assent to this. Jesus taught His disciples, John 13:13. This is King James Version. He says, you call me Master and Lord. I love it. And Jesus is not afraid. He says, yeah, you're right, because that's who I am. Yeah, you got it right. Second, then Peter proclaimed Jesus Lord to the Jews at Pentecost. Acts 2:36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, Kurios and the Master and the Messiah, the one who you crucified. And there we see that as the person who's in charge. We belong to that person. As I've said already, we are bought at a price. We are not our own. Peter spoke this to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, Acts 10:36. As for the world that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. If you're confused, that's just that, well, what about the other gods and what about other religions? Well, no, Scripture is clear. He is Lord of all. Paul proclaimed Jesus as Lord by virtue of Jesus' death and His resurrection. He was Lord over everything, Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. This is some Lord. This is not just your general overseer. And then, of course, to us as Christians or believers or followers of Christ, however you want to term yourself, Jesus is the only Lord. There are no other lords. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. Ephesians breaks it down even more in a little deeper way. Ephesians 4 verse 5. There is one God and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to you called. Do you get the ones here? There's not multiples. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Go away and meditate on that all afternoon if you like. Jesus is the one who is the Kurios. He is the Lord and Master. And if this is true in our lives, and if it's not, you get an opportunity to change that today. And if you are saying Jesus is my Lord and Master, then we acknowledge that He is Lord and Master, which means that He rules out every other lords. It's not on the fence this Sunday and this fence that Sunday. So what lords are we talking about then? Well, number one is myself or yourself. My own will, my way, my agenda, my wants, my. Galatians 2:21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That should be a glorious amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We get to deny ourselves and follow Jesus Christ. Luke 9:23, and He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, some people have taken that scripture and made it mean 100 things that it's not meant to mean. Now, we have to understand that the cross is not about self-promotion or self-affirmation. Well, I take my cross every day and I follow Jesus. Now, that's a little bit of self-promotion, a little bit of self-affirmation. You have to understand, the person, think about what the cross was, the person carrying the cross couldn't save themselves. The cross was a one-way journey. There was no return ticket on this flight. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up, because this is a one-way flight. If you carried a cross, it meant you were going to be crucified and you would die. And if you didn't die by natural death, they broke your legs so that you drowned in your and suffocated and that you died. So they could take you down by sunrise. This was a one-way ticket. And we have to understand that these, my preferences, and the second thing is my flesh. My own fleshly desires. And we all have fleshly desires. So don't feel alone. Feel like, man, I'm in good company. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, my preferences. You know, if you're living in a family, whatever family you're in, you're making sacrifices for others. I hope I am. I've got the two sages in the front going, oh. We have to learn to make a habit of crucifying the flesh. Go and read, help you to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. The third one that we get rid of is the world, the lordship of the world. Anything outside of myself which would lead me away from the Lord. Anything that would lead me away from, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm focused on you, Jesus, only looking to you, Jesus. And anything that comes and tries to distract us from that thing, that's what I'm talking about. Galatians 6:14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's a brave statement to live by. This would include things like your jobs, your careers, and family. Luke 14:15-24. In 25-27. Luke 14:15-24, 25-27. I couldn't put all the scriptures in. And of course, philosophies and traditions of men. Now, well, we've got to do it all traditionally. Okay, well, go and read Colossians 2:6-10. And the fourth one I've got here is my brotherhood. Now, of course, we are a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and we're a family and all together. Bible's clear, Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. But some people fear man or fear their brothers more than they fear God. So when we hear, or if we're around our brotherhood, we watch our P's and our Q's, and we behave well, and we put in our best behavior, and we shine for Jesus. But the minute they're not around, this other person, you know, like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde creature arrives and goes, jeez, who are you? I met a guy like that once upon a time. Just one guy. And he was talking to me and he's saying, oh, no, I'm hanging out with sinners. I said, oh, that's wonderful. How are you? She says, yeah, well, I'm doing what they do. I said, what does that mean? She says, well, I talk like that and I swear like that and I drink with them and I smoke with them. I've got nothing against that kind of stuff, but that's another preach. I said, why? She says, well, I want them to see I'm just like them. I said, bad, you're not like them. You're like Christ. That's the part you should be showing them. He was like, looked at me like I had two heads. You could see him like looking at both my heads. When with our friends or our family, we got to show Christ. That's your best opportunity. We have to avoid divided loyalties. When we acknowledge He is my Lord and my Savior and my Master, we rule out other lordships. We think, we dwell, we meditate, we ponder on His lordship in my life. Closing, how do we do this? Number four, we need to practice a lifestyle of His lordship. Not of Him being Savior, because we already got that waxed. We need to practice Him as our Lord. Number one, think of Jesus as my Lord and Master. Think of Jesus not simply as a means of mental, intellectual assent or by rote. It's by heart, a heart attitude of He is my Lord and my Master. And when I say it, I want you to believe it. When we first came to Canada, we met an old gentleman. Louise knew him from the girls' home she worked. Redner. Mr. Redner. He was probably one of the godliest men I ever met. And he used to tell, there's a little town just outside of Belleville called Rednerville. So you get the importance he was in that place. And he sat down and we were just talking and he told me that he'd read the Bible cover to cover like 100 times. I'm like, whoa. And then he tells me a story because so their cottage was on a lake. And in winter, the lake freezes over. And then he himself was like 99. In his young days, he used to get on his horse and walk across the lake to go to town. And one day the horse slipped on the ice. And he fell and he broke his shoulder on the ice. And now he's trying to get this horse off of him. And he says to me in almost southern Canadian drawl, if there's such a thing, my God can do anything. And I looked at him and I just felt a quickening in my spirit that this man, what comes out of his mouth, he means. And he said, I lay on the ice and I put my hand on my shoulder and I said, my God, you can do anything. Would you heal my shoulder? And he felt a few tweaks and cracks in his shoulder. And he went like this, and his shoulder was healed, and he got up, and he led the horse across the thing. And I just walked away, and I said to Bridget and Louise, I said, you know what? When that guy said that, I believed him completely. It wasn't just by rote. That's what I mean by rote. It wasn't just by, he meant it. He had it in his heart that Jesus is his Lord and Master, and my God can do anything. And that God that I met 16 years ago is the same God for us today. And 100 years ago, the same God for us today. Our God can do anything. So again, I did a little thinking of Jesus for our parents, our spouses, our friends, our pastors, those people who influence your lives. We want to live on His lordship. And here we have what I call the dream team. Think, desperation. We desperation for salvation. It's the package deal. R, we want to be radical. We want to be real. We want to be restoring. We want to be restful in Christ Jesus. Emotions are good. Don't like kick all your emotions out, but we want complete, strong consistency in our emotions, not roller coaster emotions. One day I greet you, the next day I ignore you. Where, you know, let's be consistent in our emotions. Appealing. We want to be appealing. We want people to go like I did with Mr. Redner. Man, that guy believes what he just said. And I believe him. We want to appeal. We want the glory of God to shine out of us, that people look at us and go, man, you've got something. You're appealing. I don't know what it is that you got. I don't understand all of it, but it is something that I want too. And the M in dream is maturing, growing to be more Christ-like. Not like the world, not like the people down the road. I could be so bold as to say, not like your pastor. Be you. Be the very best person that God has made you to be. Thinking of Jesus, my Lord, is a commitment to Him. Making it a more personal commitment to His authority and His power. Make it more likely that as individuals we will heed what He says. In Luke 6:46, He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Why? Because we've learned it by rote. Oh, Jesus, my Lord and Master, well, go and do this. Yeah, not today. Just after I gave my Lord to the life, recommitted my life. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was about 14. But when I recommitted my life to the Lord, He used to call me, and I was like, what? No, it's a figment of my imagination. And, of course, I thought that because He used to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't you sleep, Lord? And I used to get this, Mark. And I go, hey, babes, are you calling me? She says, no. Why don't you wake me up? I said, no, I thought you were calling me. It took me a while to figure out she was soundly asleep. Louise was still in her bedroom. She was soundly asleep. There was something else going on. And eventually I got it, and I used to get up and go at 3 o'clock in the morning and go through to the other room and just listen and talk to Him. And tell me, He used to tell me of His dreams for me. And I was like, okay, Lord. I felt like Eli and Samuel, you know. And I'm like, can we not do this like at 6 o'clock at night? What's 3 o'clock in the morning got to do with it? Jesus will be our true Lord and Master when we view Him as Lord and Master. When we have a higher view of who He is. Number two, we have to accept Jesus as Lord and Master. We've accepted Him as Savior, but we also have to accept Him. And this is, please hear me, this is not religion. This is relationship. This is understanding the difference. Accepting Him means involves a disdain for the things of the world or other things, for myself, for world, all those other four things we looked at. Philippians 3:7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And you're going to look it up in the Greek. That's not knowing about. That is gnoskos, understanding Him, knowing Him intimately. Just like you know your children intimately. Just like you know your spouses intimately. Just like you know it's other people intimately. It's not like, well, I heard about this person and I know about them. I've heard their name. No, no, no. It's knowing them intimately. So what are we going to give up? Well, popularity, prestige, maybe sometimes family, whatever the Lord speaks to you about. Willing to suffer loss of these things if necessary. Paul says, I consider them as rubbish. And I know in the King James, everyone likes to say this. He says, he uses the dung, poo-poo, dung. He uses the word dung It's nonsense. It's rubbish. Number two, it involves a consuming desire to know Christ. Philippians 3:8, for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, not being self-righteous, not being popular, not having my prestige, not everything, but his righteousness that shines through me, that comes from the law, that which comes from, through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, in our Connect group, we're going through the book of Acts, and we nearly finished it. And the beautiful thing is every time someone gets to preach, whether it was Paul or Peter or whatever, all they ever talk about was the power of Jesus Christ and him crucified and his resurrection. That's kingdom. And that's why Jesus is my Lord and Master is kingdom. It's not about my little kingdom. And we have to know him personally, to know his righteousness, to know his power, to know his sufferings. Number three means involves constantly pressing on towards maturity. Have a look behind you. Are you still over there like you were in January? Now we're coming up to December. Have you shifted or are you still at the same place? I'm not saying having got it. Well, Paul says, I haven't got it all. I haven't got this all together, but I'm still pressing on. I'm still moving forward. Well, 3:12, let's read it. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. Makes it more personal for us to know. But, means, forget about what I just said. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's why he came, to deal with sin and to reconcile us to the Father, that we can know him as Savior, but more importantly, a Lord and Master. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand what kind of a week I've just had. No, you're right. And you don't understand what kind of week I've had. That's not the point. The point is, no matter what happened, we press on. We push into Jesus. We push into Holy Spirit. We call Father God. That's why we are able to cry, Abba, Father. Which also means that we are not complacent in our service to Christ Jesus. We're not satisfied with our level of spiritual growth. We are willing to leave the past behind. We're not glorifying in our past accomplishments. Well, in 1962, the Lord touched me. I'm happy that he touched you in 1962. What is he going to do in 2022? That's where we're pressing on. What did he do in 2021? That's where we're pressing in. It's also not wallowing in our past failures. I messed up. I didn't get it right. I didn't do this. I couldn't do that. Stop it. Press on into him, into maturity. It is reaching forward and pressing toward the goal. That's what it is. Paul's attitude demonstrates it so well for us when he truly made Jesus his Lord and Master. And for us, my Lord and Master, it means that, man, I had a terrible day yesterday. We had a terrible day yesterday, if you need to know. Our furnace died. So we thought, oh my word. And then we got the guy to eventually come after like 7 phone calls to different people. And it was some silly little thing. Because I'm just not wired that way, I couldn't fix it. Took him all of 10 minutes to find it and fix it. And then we were like, oh Lord, we are so thankful. Thankful that we have a home. Thankful, Lord God, that we are warm. Thankful that we have clothes. Thankful that we have food. The basics. Grateful that Lord and Savior, he is our Lord and Master, and he will always take care of us. The attitude that Paul displays of maturity as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Last scripture, Philippians 3:15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if you're not mature, and if anything you think otherwise, just rely on God because He'll reveal that to you as well. You know, we're not all the same. We're all on a journey, and we're all going on this journey together. And some are mature than others, and that's not your fault. Some are new Christians. Well, you can't be the same as someone who's been a Christian for 30 years. Let's just press in and go on to maturity. Look to Jesus. I want to tell you, if you're a new Christian, don't make the same mistakes the one who's 30 years old did. Because they can tell you what the mistakes they made. Anyway, it's not in my notes, but there we go. We should not be ashamed to boldly declare and have the attitude that Jesus is my Lord, my Master, my owner, and my Savior. The question for us today, for me to leave with you, what is Jesus to you today, right now? You might join Him. You might say, well, yeah, I never thought of Him as Lord and Master. That's okay. You get to change that today. Well, I only thought it was about being saved. Now you know today it's not. You might join in today as praising others with others as Lord and Master. Will you submit yourselves to Him that you could unequivocally say, Jesus is my Lord and my Master. Thank you that you're also my Savior, but that you are my Lord and my Master. And so just before we close, before Michael comes to close us off, if you go, man, I got some of what you just said, I didn't get all of what you said, that's okay. But if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that today as well. He can become your Savior and your Lord and Master. And so I'm going to ask you just to pray a prayer with me. And when you prayed that prayer, then you should tell somebody about it. Because you've just gone from Jesus as Savior. And when you tell somebody about it, then you start to work on Jesus as Lord and Master. So, Father, I come to you today, Lord God, and I offer myself to you. I thank you, Lord, that you came to die on a cross for my sins and to reconcile me back to the Father. And so, Father, I just ask you, would you forgive my sins, Lord God? Would you come into my heart? Let me live for you, Jesus. Let me be your disciple that you may be my Lord and Master. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.